You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It's Tuesday, December 19th, and we're talking Diamondbacks baseball. We bring in D-backs reporter for MLB.com, Steve Gilbert. Steve, thanks as always for taking the time. Winter meetings quiet for the D-backs, like a lot of teams. I kind of sound like a broken record saying that. But you wrote recently there were a lot of discussions at the winter meetings that could lead to bigger deals or signings. What were you alluding to when you talked about that?
Yeah, you know, Darwin, we talked to Mike Hazen towards the end of the meetings and asked him about the kind of lack of activity. And he said, you know, maybe it appeared that way in terms of actually getting deals done. But below the surface, there were a lot of discussions. They talked with a number of different teams about different ideas and parameters of deals. And they felt, you know, optimistic that something could get done. Now, a lot of times things slow down around the holidays, and Hazen was hoping to kind of keep pushing things forward and not slowing down here for the holidays. You know, they talked about some different things. I know they were approached by several teams, you know, about Zach Greinke, Brandon Drury. They've gotten a lot of calls on him. Patrick Corbin as well is another guy that you know, something could materialize with. And then he also said that they had a few offers out to some free agent relievers. I'm not sure which ones those are. That's kind of been hard to pin down, but the reliever market has been pretty hot in terms of the salary some of these guys are getting. So I'm not sure, how much the Diamondbacks are in on some of that stuff, given some of their payroll restrictions. But, those are just some of the things that I think they discussed in terms of, going forward.
You mentioned Greinke, and why would he even be someone that would be considered to be on the trade market, given the fact that he's clearly an important part of the front end of the pitching staff there? Why would he be someone that could potentially be on the move?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the reasoning, the thinking there is that, you know, he's owed a lot of money, about $33 million a year for the next several years. And that's a lot for a team that's looking at a record payroll this year of $115 million. You know, you're talking, you know, nearly a third of the payroll in one guy. So if they were able to deal him, that would give them some flexibility. Now, you know, they're kind of caught in the spot there because they plan on competing in 2018. So they would want to be able to not just shed some salary, but also find a way to get back pitching, whether it's in that trade or whether it's in another trade. If they trade a starting pitcher, they've been pretty forthcoming about the fact that they're going to have to figure out a way to get one in return in some deal of some type, because they don't have a ton of starting pitching depth right now. And so they've got five guys that they're counting on heading into spring training. And if they deal one of those five, they have to, before they do that, they have to know they have a path towards getting a replacement.
And another spot on the team where they're looking to build depth is in the outfield, and J.D. Martinez. Is it safe to say that he won't be part of that outfield depth, that asking price is really just too high at this point?
Well, you know, they're staying in touch with J.D., and you know, you always hear the rumors that, well, if they move Greinke, they'll have money and they can get J.D. I just, you know, maybe I'm missing something here, but I don't see how he fits in their payroll. You know, we're talking right now about Zach Greinke's, $33 million or whatever per year, and how that's kind of restrictive in their payroll. So if you were able to get out from underneath that, then you would turn around and commit, you know, $25 or $30 million to J.D. Martinez, you know, a year for the next 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is he's looking for. I just don't know that that's feasible going forward for them. Certainly, they would love to have J.D. back, but I just can't see right now how that would fit in their payroll situation.
Yeah, it certainly would be tough, and they want to expand their outfield depth, everything we read about, but one unlucky injury that is kind of a deja vu of last year, Socrates Brito reportedly fractured his right pinky finger in winter league play. And he also, I believe, broke his ring finger last year. It was his ring finger, missing the first couple months of the season. So just bad luck there, right, for Brito and the team. He was a guy that they're relying on here moving forward.
Yeah, he was a guy they were really interested in. You know, he's a good-looking prospect. They hope he'd be ready for spring training. They were going to have him looked at by their own doctors before being able to, you know, give a timetable or to go into the extent of the injury. But certainly he was somebody that could be their outfield depth and still could be. But, you know, I think they would have liked him to get, you know, as many at-bats as possible during the winter league. They have to look to kind of, without J.D. Martinez, they're going to need to build some depth out there. And, you know, one of the ways and one of the possible ways they could be creative in doing so is, you know, using Chris Owings. You know, he played short, he played second. But, you know, a couple of years ago when A.J. Pollock got hurt, Chris Owings filled in very nicely for him in center field. He can play all three outfield positions, has a little bit of pop in his bat. And if he ends up being a, kind of like a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy, that could help out their outfield depth quite a bit.
Absolutely. The team as a whole, of course, a bounce back. Great year last season with Torey Lovello running the show, making it to the playoffs and winning the wild card game before getting knocked off by the Dodgers there. But you had a good piece, I thought, talking about Lovello, saying that he felt like the team got their feet wet in a way and that they know what it takes. So now turning the page and going towards next year, is it the sense that, okay, we got this far, now how do we improve on that and really contend for a championship? Is that really the goal here, New Year's resolution, if you will, going into next season?
Yeah, I think for Torey, I think the raising the standard, raising the bar, raising the expectations is something that he's probably going to focus on this spring. This was a team that was relatively young, a team without a lot of playoff experience. So I think they got a kind of a taste of that, and he felt like it showed them the kind of intensity that they need to bring on a night-in and night-out basis. You know, guys like Jake Lamb and Owings and other guys had not ever played on that stage before. Paul Goldschmidt, you know, played on it in his rookie year back in 2011. But you know, AJ Pollock had never played in one, so there was a lot of kind of a learning curve, I think, that comes with, you know, handling the postseason. And Torey kind of is, you know, of the mindset that now this will help them going forward. And I think one of his big messages this spring will be, okay, last year was great, made the playoffs first time since 2011, that's great, but you know, now the standard is not just to make the playoffs, but to go deeper into the playoffs.
Yeah, that culture is so important, the way the manager sets it up, and clearly Torey's done a great job so far, and now going to that next level would certainly be the goal. As we wrap up here, Steve, just looking at, of course, it's holiday season, gift-giving time, so I would imagine the D-backs not done in the offseason, although payroll is a limitation, as you talked about with J.D. Martinez. But if the D-backs fans were getting a gift from the front office, a player, a free agent, or trade that could come in and really add to that team in their quest to be championship contenders next year, what would that gift, what would that player be? What other rumors are you hearing there?
Well, you know, obviously if they could somehow afford J.D. Martinez, I think the Diamondbacks fans would love to see him in their stocking come Christmas Day. But assuming that that's probably out of the question, I think it would be probably their best move at this point is to do something to add to that bullpen and possibly also add to the catching depth that they have after losing Chris Iannetta. I think, you know, either one of those two things or both would be really a key for them. And maybe they're able to do that if they move a salary such as Patrick Corbin out of the rotation, who's going to make probably about a little more than $8 million through arbitration. So that could free up some funds for them to be able to use that to maybe get a controllable starter somewhere. Or to kind of build up back up their bullpen a little bit more or add depth behind the plate.
Steve, we really appreciate the time as always. Happy holidays to you. Enjoy the next few weeks, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Steve Gilbert joining us here. Thanks for tuning in on MLB.com Extras.